From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Anna Sale, sitting in for Al Letson this week. I'm the host of Death, Sex, and Money, the podcast from WNYC Studios. My show is personal interviews, often focusing on the most important relationships in our lives. This episode of Reveal is about when those relationships come up against U.S. immigration policy. We'll hear from families and children caught in a system with shifting rules and from those in charge of enforcing those rules on the ground. We start in Los Angeles County.
So we're going to go ahead. We'll start over here.
It's late August, just after 5 o'clock in the morning. The inky black sky mirrors the dark storefronts of a strip mall. In the parking lot, more than a half dozen immigration agents in bulletproof vests huddle for a briefing.
For this operation this morning, there'll be a 37-year-old Guatemalan national who has two prior convictions for DUI and two prior convictions for reckless driving.
Agents from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, have been staking out the homes of convicted felons who are in the U.S. illegally. The agents plan to arrest them when they leave their homes.
It'll be number two. On the fact sheet, it'll be Rodrigo Romat. It would be a 29-year-old Mexican national who has convicted earlier this year of carrying a loaded firearm.
The people on today's list have criminal convictions for drunk driving, sexual battery, and gun possession. If the agents are able to make arrests, ICE will start their deportation proceedings right away.
That's all I have for now, guys. And we're ready to roll.
Operations like this attract media attention and create anxiety for immigrants. ICE arrests of criminals and non-criminals are up 35% since Donald Trump became president. They've happened at restaurants, courthouses, and sometimes, like these, early in the morning outside an immigrant's home. Reveal's Bernice Jung has been investigating the administration's crackdown on immigration and went along on a recent ICE raid.
I ride shotgun next to Jorge Field, who helps run what ICE calls its enforcement and removal operations in Los Angeles.
We are in the city of Pacoima in the San Fernando Valley. It's northeast of the city of Los Angeles.
Jorge is in his 50s. He's got salt and pepper hair and a goatee. Like the other agents, he sports a navy blue bulletproof vest with the words ICE and police in big block letters.
It's up the street here.
We park around the corner from the suspect's home.
I grew up in a neighborhood like this, in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood.
To him, these arrests are about protecting public safety and respecting the law.
I'm a first-generation American. My dad came to this country, so it's not something we don't understand the reasons behind why they come. There's just a process in how you should come.
He says everyone doesn't belong here.
Like in this case, you know, he was arrested for carrying a loaded firearm. I'm not sure what the justification is to say, no, this person should stay in the United States.
ICE agents finished making four arrests a few hours later. Jorge tells me what's supposed to happen next.
They will be taken into custody depending on the processing, and everything else will depend on whether they remain in custody or whether they're released on a bond. And then they will get an appointment to see an immigration judge.
Those court appearances put the brakes on deportation. More than a half million cases clog the nation's immigration courts. That means after their arrests, people can wait weeks, months, or even years to see an immigration judge. The federal court that handles cases for the Los Angeles region has the second largest backlog in the country.
So, Bernice, it sounds like even as ICE is making more arrests, it's taking longer for people to get deported.
That's right. And that's a problem for President Trump. He's taken a really hard stance against illegal immigration. So he has to find a way to speed up these deportations. And one way that he could do that is to expand a policy that's actually been around since 1996. It's called expedited removal.
So how has it worked up to this point?
It's basically kind of a fast-track deportation. So immigration officials look for people at the border who don't have the right documents to come into the country. And then they can basically send them back across the border straight away, deport them immediately. No judge,
no hearing. How is the Trump administration looking to expand expedited removal?
What he'd like to do is essentially take it from where it's applied now, which is right near the border, 100 miles or so from the border, and for people who have been in the country for a pretty short period of time, about 2 weeks, and take it to the entire country, expand it nationwide, and apply it to people who have been in the country for longer, for up to 2 years.
So you've been reporting on how expedited removal works now.
Right. I got in a car and I drove across the border from San Diego into Tijuana. And ended up in a neighborhood on a Sunday morning, and it was already pretty busy in the streets. The houses around me are concrete, with faded paint and electric garage doors. People walk their dogs in the street. Kids in soccer uniforms stroll to practice. I'm here to meet a man we'll call Ernesto Ramirez. We're changing his first name because he's worried federal agents may target his family. Some members live illegally in the U.S. Ernesto has a wide face, thick features, short-cropped brown hair, and expressive brown eyes. He's thoughtful and soft-spoken. He says he first crossed the border without papers in 1997, around the time expedited removal became law. Back then, it was pretty easy to walk to the border. That's what Ernesto did. Then he waited for someone to pick him up in a car. In 10 minutes, he says, he was on the other side. 3 years later, he returned to his hometown, Veracruz, Mexico, where his father was dying of cancer. After the funeral, Ernesto tried to re-enter the United States in a car at the Tijuana border crossing. By then, the laws and the level of enforcement had changed.
I used a visa. It was a good one, but it wasn't mine.
The border inspector figured that out pretty fast.
I went in, they arrested me in the morning, and I was out the same night around 10. I didn't have a court hearing or see a judge. They only gave me this letter, and I was deported for 5 years.
That letter was an expedited removal order. For Ernesto, it happened so fast, he says he didn't realize how serious it was.
I didn't think of the consequences. That part I understand, I admit. I just didn't know that it would affect me this much.
Border inspectors gave him a document to sign in English, a language he couldn't read, and sent him back to Mexico. It was a textbook example of how expedited removal is supposed to work. An immigration officer and a supervisor had decided on the spot whether or not to deport. But it wasn't always this way. To see how we got here, let's turn back the clock.
I'm Leslie Stahl. Those stories and Andy Rooney tonight on 60 Minutes.
It's 1993, and the TV show 60 Minutes exposes that everyone who arrived in the U.S. asking for asylum got in. No questions asked.
Every single person on the planet Earth, if he gets into this country, can stay indefinitely by saying two magic words, political asylum.
That's Dan Stein, president of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, from his interview with the CBS News magazine. His organization focuses on reducing immigration to this country. Once asylum seekers are released, he said, many don't show up for their immigration hearings. 60 Minutes also highlighted the case of Ramzi Youssef, part of the group behind the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He had gotten into the U.S. by asking for asylum.
You could be a murderer, go through three safe countries, use a phony document at pre-inspection to get on the plane, flush the documents down the toilet when you get here, say political asylum at JFK Airport in New York City, boom, you got your work document and you're in.
Now, does that really happen?
Yes, it happens all the time.
This story shocked viewers and policymakers. 3 years later, Congress passed a slate of stricter immigration laws, including expedited removal. Instead of letting people into the country while they waited to see an immigration judge, the law granted border inspectors a new power to immediately kick out anyone who didn't have a fear of returning to their home country.
All right, here's my office.
Jessica Vaughn has supported that move from the start.
Piles of paper everywhere. A lot of newspaper clippings from the pre-digital era.
She's with the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. It's an influential think tank that wants to restrict immigration. Jessica maintains that people who enter this country illegally aren't playing by the rules.
If we don't remove them promptly, then it's an incentive for other people to try to come and take advantage of our system.
The fact that it doesn't involve a judge, she says, is one of the benefits.
It doesn't make any sense that taxpayers should have to subsidize a long, drawn-out proceeding for someone who was caught coming into the country illegally.
Expedited removal eliminates that proceeding and the possibility of court challenges, except in rare cases. Los Angeles-based immigration lawyer Jennifer Rogelski says that's a lot of power to give to border officers.
Basically, there's an officer who acts like a judge and acts like an attorney and decides whether or not you have a legal right to be in the United States.
This makes it harder for Jennifer to do her job as head of the deportation defense team for a major immigration law firm.
So an immigration judge has no authority to review an immigration officer's decision to order someone removed expeditedly. Even if they look at the case and say this is egregious, they can't do anything. They can't even consider it.
Problems have come up. A federal commission found border agents didn't offer some asylum seekers a chance to ask for refuge. Court records also show border officers have deported U.S. citizens. Mistakes aside, there's no denying expedited removal is fast.
A nation without borders is not a nation. Beginning today, the United States of America gets back control of its borders, gets back its borders.
Part of that means controlling what happens in the country. Trump also wants to expand expedited removal beyond the border, so agents could pick up people anywhere in the country. Local law enforcement agencies could, too, if they've agreed to work with ICE. Immigration advocates worry that at its most extreme, this could lead to a national show-me-your-papers atmosphere. Because the Department of Homeland Security is still weighing the proposal, agency officials declined to answer my questions about what an expansion could mean for their operations and for immigrants. Expedited removal was supposed to discourage illegal crossings. It didn't stop Ernesto.
I was punished for 5 years. But the thing is, I didn't respect that date.
After agents deported Ernesto through expedited removal in 1999, they banned him from the U.S. for 5 years. But he snuck back into the country the next day. For nearly 20 years, he and his family lived in California. Ernesto and his wife had a son, a U.S. citizen. He worked at an Italian restaurant and became active in his Catholic church. Over time, Ernesto forgot about his expedited removal, but ICE didn't. In April, agents arrested him as he climbed into his truck to go to work.
They didn't send me to see a judge. The officer told me I didn't have any rights, the right to see a judge or see a lawyer. He said you have to get out.
For 4 months, Ernesto sat in a detention center near San Diego while he waited to see if the government would let him stay. Over the summer, ICE deported him. Expedited removal is fast, and there are no second chances. The process is possible at the border because the courts have found that constitutional rights are more limited there. But in the rest of the country, even people who are in the U.S. illegally are entitled to what the law calls due process. In this case, the right to argue why they should be able to stay here. Taking expedited removal nationwide would rob them of that.
I don't doubt that there will be some legal challenges.
That's Jessica Vaughn of the Center for Immigration Studies again. She says Congress created expedited removal, and it has the right to decide how immigration proceedings go. Still, she expects pushback.
There are a lot of groups that are opposed to immigration enforcement and that want to try to put up hurdles and landmines for ICE and for the Border Patrol in any way they can.
Expanding expedited removal across the country raises other questions. If immigrants are picked up during a raid, how would they prove that they'd been in the country for more than 2 years? What kind of proof would they need?
Hello, this is Claude.
I called Claude Arnold. At ICE, He oversaw the largest criminal workplace investigation at an Iowa poultry processing plant in 2008 and retired after nearly 30 years with the agency. The government wouldn't discuss pending policy, so we don't know exactly what proof ICE will ask for. But Claude has some thoughts.
You know, leases, apartment leases, you know, any kind of bills from the residents that they show they've been paying the utilities in their name for 2 years, you know, been working, getting a paycheck for 2 years, anything like that. But it has to be to the satisfaction of the officer.
David Martin helped draft the legislation for expedited removal during the Clinton administration when he was the top lawyer for the Federal Immigration Agency.
A person who's apprehended in Central Virginia may not have the kind of evidence easily at hand that could show that, yes, I've actually been here for 3 or 4 years.
So the wrong people could be deported?
Yes, the wrong people could be subjected to that.
Claude says it's not necessarily the government's problem if immigrants don't have their documents handy.
The burden's on the alien, right? So the burden's on them. That's what the law requires. So if they can't show it, they can't show it.
There's still a lot being considered by immigration officials, but there's one thing we do know for sure. Even when expedited removal works as it's supposed to, it can separate families. Although he's back in Mexico, Ernesto hasn't let go of his life in America. He shows me pictures of his kids and his church in Southern California. He and his wife talk several times a day on the phone. He knows, though, there's no going back. Crossing the border again could mean prison time. So he's looking for a steady job, crashing with relatives or church friends in Tijuana. He makes some money catering the Italian dishes he learned to make in San Diego before ICE caught up with him. For my visit, Ernesto prepares 3 different pasta dishes. At the dining room table, he and his hosts bless the meal before they eat. On my car ride back across the border, I text Ernesto to tell him I enjoyed the meal. He replies he'd served his specialties. In the same text, he praises God, and he ends with a joke. Well then, President Trump has just lost a good cook.
President Trump isn't the only one who's leaned on expedited removal. Under President Obama, the Department of Homeland Security deported almost 140,000 people last year. That's about 40% of all deportations. If Trump's expansion goes through, an immigrant advocacy group predicts up to 180,000 more people could be deported under this process, meaning they get no chance at an appeal or to see a judge before leaving the country. When we come back, a 4-year-old immigrant gets his day in court.
All right, we're on the record.
Estamos en el desk. Good afternoon.
You're listening to Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.